KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents The On-Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
Welcome on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving to The On-Air Chat. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Ron Thomas.
Morning, Aaron.
I thought it was going to be much chillier today when the wind picked up yesterday, but it's still a pretty nice day. Tomorrow looks really nice.
Not too bad. Tomorrow's going to be a beautiful day. Friday's not going to be too bad, but not so nice on Saturday, and then we get a blast of winter Sunday and Monday.
First blast of winter the day before it turns December 1. I'm not complaining.
Well, you know, when I was out at the fairgrounds yesterday for the
Awesome event.
Oh, yeah. It was a great event. And they raised a lot of money out there, too, just under $2,000 collected in their short stint out at the fairgrounds. We did our Talk of Emporia program. I was out there with Chuck, and we were actually set up outside to begin with, and the wind was howling, a terribly cold north wind. And I'm generally not affected by the cold that much, but that wind took me to my knees. We actually moved inside the Anderson building. And
smart move.
Yeah, great move. Great move. And things turned out really good. But yeah, it was chilly with that wind yesterday.
Yeah, and an awesome event. They said this morning on the Newsmaker that they have surpassed their goal of putting a wreath on every veteran's grave at the Memorial Lawn Cemetery, and they have a good head start for next year. Now, my next goal is to put a marking on every grave at Memorial Lawn Cemetery.
Well, 2,333 was the goal. That would put a wreath on every veteran that is was put to rest at Maplewood Memorial Lawn Cemetery. They surpassed that, and they've got over 900.
943 or something.
Yeah, set to go for next year. So
that's fabulous.
Just a great event, and it's going to be a great ceremony coming up December 13th. They're looking for volunteers, but you're right. That's part of the volunteer is now marking the graves where the veterans are, mm-hmm. so you know where to place the wreaths, and then to be able to pick the wreaths up in January to finish the project. So they've got just under 200 volunteers right now. They're looking for 300, actually.
We'll get there.
Lisa can tell you where all the Civil War people are.
Not all the Civil War, but, I mean, the marking is important because a lot of those graves do not have, you know, either the bronze marker or anything on the headstone. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Some of them,
Headstones are broken. There's some that just have no markings whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's
because
spot.
Of weather yep. has just erased it. So, yeah.
I know there's some stuff the Fab Lab down at Main Street can do for fairly cheap. We just need to make sure that it's okay with Memorial Lawn.
Yeah, and they've been great to work. When we work with them, they're great. When we've done the tours, we've done a couple of different tours, a Boys in Blue, where it's the Civil War. We've done a women's suffrage tour, and then just a generic, I don't want to say generic, but a veterans tour with different conflicts. And I'd like to revisit that one.
In the northeast corner there, right next to Lincoln, there is a Civil War plot. And there's a Confederate soldier buried in there.
Is that the the one that's kind of
yep.
up on a hill and it's got the round with the big flagpole? Does it have
no,
a big flagpole?
That is actually
that's a World War One.
No, that's a Civil War. It was done by the GAR in the Women's Relief Corps. So yeah, the one with the flagpole is that the soldiers' plot is further to the north
and
east.
Oh, so almost Lincoln.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, almost, I mean, it's right off of Lincoln. But, yeah, the old soldier's plot is what they call it.
So, I'm sure you'll be out there as
I'll be out there capacity. December 13th.
Yeah, as
Take
mayor.
My kids. I took them last year. It was a great experience for all three of us.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah, so we look forward to inviting people. And we're going to be dealing with parking issues probably that we'll have to get volunteer help with, too, I'm sure. Out there, and that's a good problem to have.
It is.
With that many people that'll be out there.
Yeah, we probably need to start talking with Clay and the folks about getting a bus or something and taking people from a public parking down at ESU or something and just drive them up 18th. It'd be a pretty quick move over there. So park at Jones and walk over.
Yeah, December 13th ceremony, 11 a.m., and then there'll be a brief break, and then the wreath-laying activities will begin about an hour later.
Yeah, and hopefully we have enough volunteers. It didn't take a whole lot of time, maybe an hour and a half last year to get all the plots laid, but obviously we have a lot more wreaths to lay this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think last year they were able to get a wreath for every
grave. They got just under 1,000.
Yeah, it was just under 900, I think,
last year. Yeah, it was right around 1,000 last year.
Yeah.
So we're going to have triple that this year.
See, and initially the goal this year was like 1,600, something
like that. Yeah, they wanted
to
double last year's, I think.
But then the folks that were involved with the Wall That Heals said, hey, we'd like to help you out.
What a great project. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're the so-called dream team, jumped on board. And
a lot less stress on Scott Bernheide this year.
No kidding.
And he's well-deserved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's very happy, as well he should be.
Yeah, he was basically a one-man show last year.
He was it.
And he did an awesome job.
And I think, was that his second year last year? Was the second year, maybe?
That was the first year that he had a ceremony. He started the project the year before.
Yeah.
But they didn't have time to get any wreaths in.
Okay.
So he...
Veterans Day, the home of Veterans Day.
Here we go. Yeah. Really is. So, yeah, and not only that, but you got to make sure that the city's magic wand is working, because you have to light the Christmas parade at the Christmas parade Tuesday night.
Next Tuesday night. So hopefully that is a Chamber of Commerce magic wand. So hopefully their magic wand is working. It did last year.
I don't know. I think that's a City of Emporia magic wand.
Okay, I'm going to text some people as soon as we get off, make sure they test it before they hand it over to me. I don't want to be the failure. But no,
triple check.
We'll have an awesome parade next Tuesday,
and
you can hear that right here on KVOE.
Well, the zoo got their lights lit last night, over 28,000 feet of lights.
We were down there, a lot of new lights. And
looks really good.
Yeah, they added a lot of non-tree, non-railing lights as well. I saw a parrot. I saw a couple of bears.
Oh, nice.
I saw a couple other birds that are throughout the zoo. It's really, really well lit. Josh and his crew do an awesome job.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. So on throughout the holiday season.
Yep, and I think they're doing a couple of extra night stroll nights that you can stroll through after hours to stroll through the zoo and look at the lights.
Cause they did that last year. I think it was the first time.
Last year was the first
time that they had,
I think they picked two Saturday nights, and I think they might be doing every Saturday. I'm not on the zoo board this year, but I think they might be doing every Saturday night in December.
Yeah, I think you're right. But yeah, we went down there and looked, and it was just...
It's gorgeous.
It was awesome to be able to go in and see the lights instead of just driving by or getting out walking.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You got some really good pictures.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of good things going on in Emporia. A lot of good things going on at the KMA.
Wow. I guess.
Yes. Let's welcome our guests. You've heard them both speak already. Lisa Soler, the Deputy Director of the Lyon County History Center. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
How are you? Big Thanksgiving plans?
We're going to my daughter's in Sedgwick, which is a little town just north of Wichita, about 10-15 minutes away from a drive into Wichita. So yeah, we'll be going there and getting to see the grandkids and eating
free food.
Yeah, that's good.
Free food. I don't have to clean the house. Greg kind of bristles sometimes. We have to travel, and it's like, yeah,
that's not trying, that far.
Yeah, it's an hour.
It's a little over an hour, but it's like I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean the house. We're going.
Yeah. That's worth the 2 hours, one there and one back.
So, and I think I'm bringing green bean casserole. My daughter had made it, and Greg cannot. Yeah.
The cream of mushroom soup that gets me every time.
But my daughter and I like it. We'll be the ones eating it, and then a couple of desserts. So I'm still cooking, but I mean, I'm taking it, and then I don't have to do any cleanup .
Well, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. So I've earned it.
And Greg Jordan, the director of the Lyon County History Center. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Aaron.
How are you, my friend?
I seem to be okay. It's been a year, so we're getting towards the end, so I'm feeling better about next year.
Well, I'm sure you're feeling good about next year. We'll get to that shortly.
Yeah, sure you are.
But let's get into KMA. Tell folks a little bit about what KMA is and then we'll let Lisa tell the story.
So the Kansas Museum Association, KMA, is a group of all museums in Kansas. It could be art galleries, art museums. It could be just a, like it, at KU, they have a Hall of Fame there. That's included in this mix. And so it is a...
Is the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame part of it in Wichita?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
But what about like Children's Museum in Kansas?
I was going to say Children's also Museum, included. Zoos. I mean, they cover zoos.
Zoos, aquariums.
David Traylor Zoo is a member.
In fact, the zoo director was there. We had a nice chat with
Brenda,
her.
Yeah. Brenda. And they had received a... They were also there to receive a grant. I think they had applied for a grant, and they... You know, we're awarded a grant for the Prairie River.
Prairie something.
Prairie to the River campaign?
Yes, for the campaign. So it was very nice to see other Emporians there.
Sure.
For okay. It.
So it's a really wonderful group of people that really try to help all the museums. So it's a source for information or mentoring. Or at least, and I both served as mentor.
Annual conference,
which is always a good event. They try to move it around the state. This past year, it was in Great Bend. Next year, it's going to be in Atchison. Hopefully, it'll be in Emporia before too long. Now that we have a convention center, but they're booked till 29 or 30. So, I'll be sitting back and watching from the sidelines.
I'm glad you didn't say you'd be gone.
Plus one, you'll be a plus one.
I'll be a plus
seemed
one.
A little
you'll, be
a,
yeah, you'll be a plus one.
I'll be gone by then.
So at any rate, it's a really good organization. I've been active in it for 30 years. Lisa's been active for 20. In fact, that's how we met. We were both were elected to be on the KMA Board of Directors, and so we served as local area representatives, and so that's how we met 20-plus years ago. Mm-hmm. So... anyway, so at this year's conference, it was typical. There were sessions to go to and things to learn and networking, which is really probably the most important aspect. So we talked to a lot of different people. Because you
keep in contact with these folks year-round via email and sharing
email listservs
ideas. And yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Again, they've been an extremely helpful group to me. When I first started this job 30 years ago, I didn't know up from down with regard to running a museum. And so they've been very, very helpful to me, and I try to return that to help others. In fact, we talked to a couple people that were new to their job, and one's in Marion, which is fairly close, obviously. I don't remember the other one. But anyway, we offered our help to and have whatever capacity they need us. So it's the old adage that a rising tide lifts all boats, and that's certainly true. There are about 400 museums in Kansas, and that includes all types of museums. And some are really small where it's a completely volunteer base. They're only open like on Wednesdays, that kind of thing, to the really big ones like Exploration Place and that kind of thing. So we all have similar problems. Some of us have unique problems. But, again, we all work together. So
yeah, it's been a good group. And it's always, the networking. But you also, you're there to help, but – I was telling one of our board members yesterday who came in, it also made me very grateful for the board that we have. Because sometimes, they will...
That's
you know,
a common
other,
lament.
Yeah, other... Yeah, museums will lament about the different problems, and one of them, sometimes is the board of directors, they had like a round table discussion where they grouped us into different professions or different, education curators were here, directors were here, and so on and so on. And we both sat in the directors, on the directors' tables, and they just were talking about it. And I had nothing to add to it just because we really have a great board that is so supportive. And so I just was just kind of sitting back just listening to everybody.
Yeah, supportive and very knowledgeable.
Yes.
Yes. Again, in 30 years, it's the best board we've ever had by far. I mean, we had good boards, but this one is really particularly good. But anyway, so back to KMA, and one thing that they do is they, in an effort to promote museums, they have lots of information, and some of that information is that in Kansas, the economic impact of museums and cultural centers is over $5 billion. That's billion with a B. It provides 50,000 jobs, and it represents 2.4% of the state's GDP. Nationwide, it is $1.17 trillion impact on the economy and has 5.4 million jobs. So the museum business is big business.
Yeah, significant, yeah.
We provide a lot of things to a lot of different people, information and entertainment and recreation in some cases, but we also provide jobs and money to the local economy. So these are the kind of things that I use, certainly when I'm trying to write a grant, that I can use this information to talk about our impact in our community. So,
well, and you know, the Lyon County History Center gets an apportionment from the county every year,
sure.
And that money goes to salaries. And so the money is going back into the economy, going back into the county,
yeah.
Going back into the city by doing that. So they really are supporting us, and then there's a return value on that as well. And we certainly appreciate the county commissioners and their faith in what we're doing. And they realize, you know, we bring them down for a tour of the History Center, and I hope that they're just blown away by everything that we can do, that we're able to do, and that we truly are community-centered with our organization.
And location.
And you really are now. You really are community-centered now.
Absolutely. Yeah. The move is the biggest thing that's ever happened to us since 1937, since we formed as a museum. Moving to where we are has opened up the light, if you will, to the entire community and county and even surrounding counties. So we're no longer dealing with obscurity, but rather we're in
yeah.
the light now. So.
Well, and it's also been able to help us with our partnerships. You know, the city is also giving us, you know, TGT funds for next year. And so that's a great bonus. I mean, and again, it takes a lot of different organizations, different groups to support us. And we're just eternally grateful for everybody that that has a hand in it, in our programming and just everything to help us operate.
Yeah, a lot of activities going on there. Your third floor has been very busy with people able to rent that, and you got groups and clubs and organizations and things
and
happening.
Kids,
there.
We have a kids area, so about 3,000 kids a year will come through this year. And they're not just there for 10 or 15 minutes, they're there for an hour. In fact, in some cases, it's 2 hours. So that's become
right
a really
over our heads.
And we do have security cameras, and we have to check those periodically because it sounds like adults playing football.
I'm sure it does.
And it's toddlers.
And it's only three toddlers.
But they're beautiful wood floors.
But beautiful,
beautiful
wood floors.
It's just loud.
Beautiful. Yes.
They don't,
very, very loud.
I keep looking.
They don't tame the noise at all.
What kind of rugs can we get in that
space? Really, 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 it really doesn't work. My house has wood floors, and you can hear everybody.
But, you know, Greg's openness to doing different things when we did move was one of the reasons why I nominated him for the Distinguished Service Award.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's back to the
So you're at the conference.
So we're at the conference.
It's probably coming to an end.
It's coming to an end. It's Friday morning, and there's like two or three different sessions. And it's raining, and I want to get home, so I'm telling Lisa, well, we should just go. And she goes, oh, no, we need to stay and go to these
There's
sessions.
A session I really want to listen to, so we're going
to
go.
We went to that session, and I'm falling asleep because it was really boring. It had nothing to do with what we're doing. And so I'm just, you know, doing that. And then it comes time for lunch, and so we go, stand in line and get our food.
He had talked about leaving after that, though. Okay, we saw the session. You know, we can grab something on the way home.
Yeah, let's get home.
Let's just get home.
Yeah, like I said, it's raining.
It's like everybody is at a conference when it's wrapping up.
Yeah,
when it's wrapping
and
up.
People are bailing.
Oh, yeah.
Quick.
The closing ceremonies have about 10% of the opening ceremonies
and
attendance.
And I was like, no, they're going to have pasta. I really want to stay for the pasta.
She's making good excuses.
It was pasta and pepperoni and sausage or something.
It
was leftovers is what it was. But anyway, so we're sitting there, and it comes time. We've eaten, and it comes time for the awards, and people are getting nice awards. And again, Brenda from the zoo gets – they talk about her.
They talk about the scholarships because they award scholarships to individuals to cover the cost of the – of the conference. They announce the winners of the grants, And they do a couple of other awards for like technology or printed materials, exhibits. And yeah, and so I'm sitting there going, what are they going to do, Greg's? Because I had known, and one thing, I had known since November 5th. I sent the nomination in, and it took a couple weeks. And then I got the email, and I was ecstatic. And then it was like, how am I going to keep this a secret? So I had known since November 5th that they chose him for it.
So they get to this award, and they start saying these really nice things about somebody. And I'm thinking, well, they must be doing an excellent job. Lisa has part of that right there. And it just goes on and on. It's wonderful. Well, then my picture comes up on the big screen. It's like, shoot. So I'm fairly modest about things like this. And so, I mean, I'm loud and obnoxious, but I'm modest about this. And so people are nodding their heads and all that. And so they call me up, and I go up on the stage. Well, as I'm walking up to the stage, I get a standing ovation. Well, I just wanted to run away and hide because this is not me.
Yeah, I don't need all. That. Yeah.
And so I'm standing up there, and they didn't make, I didn't have to give a speech or anything, which is good because I was blubbering at this point. And I was just, it was and am the only time in my life I've been able to use the word gobsmacked in the proper connotation, because I am and was. I'm so appreciative. I mean, these are my peers. These are the people I work with. And of course, Lisa, who wrote this beautiful thing. And I'm just, it does say something about longevity, because again, I've been there 30 years. But it also says something that people appreciate the fact that I've always tried to reach out to others that needed help. Because people did that for me, I want to do that for them.
And surrounded yourself with people that have that same goal.
Absolutely. And so, it's a big deal. And I don't know that I could receive much bigger award than that, unless it's winning the lottery. But I would probably donate a lot of that money back to KMA.
Yeah, but that's luck.
And me and
this
Ron.
Was yeah.
And
this
you and
was
Ron, of course.
This was not luck. This was. And that was part of the nomination form. I mean, and it was only a couple of questions that they ask as part of the nomination form. How does he embody the mission of KMA? And KMA is all about leadership, advocacy, and training. And I'd wanted to nominate him for the last couple of years. And life would just get crazy, and the deadline would come and go, and so it was like, okay, next year, and then that year would come, and it was, okay, next year, and this year I'm doing it this year, and he did, anytime we go into a museum, if we're traveling. Obviously through the state of Kansas, Greg's first question to whoever's guiding us or we're meeting is, are you a member of KMA? And it's that quiet advocacy that he always did, because then he would always follow up with, you need to be a member. They have these conferences, they have workshops, they really will help you. When he was a board member, he was very quiet in starting a mentoring where he would go, and I would go with him, but we would go together to go into these museums and, hey, what can we do to help as representatives, as your representative in KMA, what can we do to help? Even if they weren't a member,
I think
we would go to encourage them to become a member. And, I saw all of this, not only as, a fellow board member of KMA and then a coworker and his partner in life. And I think I wrote in the nomination that Greg Jordan is the cheerleader for the Kansas Museum community that the community didn't know they needed nor had. And I stand by that, that he's just very quiet in what he does. I think even I said, everybody knows Greg is kind of loud and obnoxious. That was part of the nomination, but he is so quiet in his advocacy for the museum community that he does deserve this. And he deserved the award. He deserved the standing ovation. So I'm just glad I was there. And
well,
they were...
Well, I was going to say that they took pictures of me when they announced his name, and I'm just beaming, and he's and then he just has this deer in the headlights.
He's a little shocked.
Like, so.
Oh, my God.
He's shocked, and I'm just like, finally, I can say something.
Well, congrats.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Again, it's something that means a lot to me personally, and so I'm very appreciative of the recognition. You know, a lot of times, especially when you're in a nonprofit, you kind of think you toil in obscurity. But so to get recognition by my peers or our peers, it means a lot to me that I'm not just doing this alone, that we are part of a group. We're just trying to enhance life for all those that come by our door or in our doors. And so, again, that means a lot.
I want to go back. I'm keeping it the secret. So they had sent me an email that they needed a photo of him. And so Anissa Hammond, who works at the History Center with us, and she knew what was happening. She knew that I had put him in for a nomination and everything. Anyway, I was like, we need to get a picture of him. He doesn't have any professional pictures. And so we're like, how are we going to get this? Hey, we're redoing the website, and we want to put photos on it.
It's a really
good
photo.
We're going to have to dress up.
Yeah. She took that.
So we're going to have to dress up and everything. So everything is set for the Thursday, and then our dog, we had to put our dog to sleep the same day. So he stayed home. So we never got a photo. That photo was taken, 10 years ago. I'm sitting across from him, like at Bruff's or something, you know, someplace we're getting ready to eat, and I just took this picture of him and made it black and white. So I sent them a couple of pictures. I was like, I can't get a professional picture of him. So here, take this. And then my daughter, that morning, Friday morning, we're talking, and I have her on the loud, you know, I have her on the speaker, and she was like, so did the thing happen yet? And I was like, no, the thing didn't happen. And Greg's like right there. He was like, what thing are you talking about? And I'm just like, oh, nothing. Go ahead and keep playing your game, you know. So I was like, oh, Sierra. But it still was, he was still surprised.
Well, again, well deserved. And congrats.
Thank you. Outstanding. Congratulations.
Let's take our first break. We'll talk about the Christmas season and the history at Emporia in Lyon County. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Construction jobs don't go away when the weather gets colder. Bruce Davis Construction is available all winter long. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot, to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendo, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
Good morning. Chuck Samples, KVOE News. Our local news headlines this hour are brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia. Volunteers are still needed for the Wreaths Across America ceremony locally on December 13th at Maplewood Memorial Lawn Cemetery. But fundraising is done not only for this year, but for part of next year's activities. Organizers using the Honor a Hero event to both generate more volunteers and also more funding. Not only are the better than 2,300 veteran grave sites at Maplewood Memorial Lawn Cemetery going to be covered next month, but there's also almost 1,000 wreaths purchased for next year as a result of yesterday's activities and also fundraising beforehand. And prison is next for an educator who spent time in Emporia before he was arrested. Following a plea agreement last month, Howard Pittler was sentenced this week to 19 months for each of two counts of indecent solicitation that were part of the plea. Headlines brought to you today by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia. Details coming up at 12:05 this afternoon. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
We want you to feel good. Tune in for Feel Good Friday.
Making you feel good.
Friday after the local news during the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. hours on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas and Aaron Harder hosting. Lisa Soler and Greg Jordan from the Lyon County History Center are our guests. Sorry, I should say Lisa Soler and Greg, the distinguished KMA Service Award winner.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
The recent
from the Lyon County History Center
KMA
are our
Service
guests.
Award winner.
Well, Lisa, we're coming up on December.
Yeah. Christmas.
Next week.
Christmas parade. I can't believe it. I mean, it starts my birthday month, but...
Are you right around Christmas?
The 21st.
Oh, yes.
You're close.
Yeah,
you're,
I'm close.
Were your parents good and separated the two?
They were awesome. They really were. Now, they separated the two, so I did get, you know, gifts on the 21st and, you know, Christmas gifts on the 24th and 25th. But my birthday gifts were wrapped in Christmas paper, and so that was always a pet peeve of mine. They did a great job separating them, but it was like, I know my mom, and she was just like, I had it on hand. Why
yeah,
would I buy?
No, there's no.
Why
yeah.
would
Nobody,
I buy birthday?
Nobody's selling happy birthday wrapping paper
yeah,
back then during Christmas season.
That's what's there, and they're going to use it. So a lot of my birthday gifts were wrapped in Christmas paper.
Well, I'm glad they. I'm glad
right.
they separated it. My
but
oldest brother is the 27th, and. My parents did a good job. Me and my other brother did a terrible job. It was like, hey, here's an extra Christmas present. Hopefully we wish you happy birthday on your birthday. We might forget.
They were really, you know, they would ask if I wanted something a little bit bigger, especially as I got older. It was like, can I have my birthday and Christmas gifts as one big gift? And but you'd, and they would, you know, if, hey, Mom, I really want, you know, a boombox.
Yeah.
That dates me. and they would be like, well, you know, it's going to be both your, you know, and that was, I was in high
Sounds
school.
Sounds fine.
Yeah. But yeah. they asked me first or I suggested it. They never shorted me.
Sure.
But yeah, so Christmas is coming, and the parade kind of kicks off the holiday season here in Emporia. And so I decided I'm going to do a little research on past parades, because I know this will be the Chamber of Commerce's 47th,
yes.
I believe.
47 years.
And so, but I knew the Chamber had been around for a lot longer than that. So it's like, so what did Emporia do in those early years? And so I did, you know, a quick search, and it seemed like the very first one was in 1935, and it was just pretty basic parade. It went from 10th Avenue to 4th Avenue, and so one of the things they were talking about is how it crossed 6th Avenue, so they would have to stop, and then there would be a lull in the parade while they let traffic go yeah. by, and then they would go. So in the 30s, they didn't quite have that down to a
well,
science.
We still have that happen.
Yeah?
Today.
Yeah?
We stopped the parade and let yeah, the traffic
just
go by.
Wait. So, yeah, it's yeah. still the same.
Well, it's a federal highway. So.
It is a federal highway. But they said that they estimated that the crowd of that, and I'm going to say first one, because there really wasn't any mention prior to 1934, that it was 6,000 to 8,000 people were downtown for
good
that
turnout.
First parade. Very good turnout. There was the town copper, which was a gigantic policeman who led the parade. And I'm not quite
oh, copper.
Sure if it
I'm with you. Okay,
copper,
gotcha.
Yeah, the
okay.
town copper.
Older term.
Older yes. term, yes. 1930s kind of, you know.
Flatfoot.
Yeah, kind of like, hey, copper, you can't get me. That was, so they called it the town copper, and it was a gigantic policeman that led the parade. They had the 100.
But it was like it wasn't a 6'8" human policeman. It was part of a
I'm
float,
I'm guessing
I
it
assume.
Was some type of float okay. that they created,
gotcha.
And they led the parade. It was followed by the 160.
You guys do not have that at the museum.
We do not. We
It'd
do not
cool,
have
though.
Anything
it would be cool.
from these, from those early parades. But they had the 161st Artillery Band. They had Santa Claus on a float.
An artillery band, you'd think they had to play really loud.
Yes.
Yeah. But did they?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, if anybody was there.
Just no. barely before your time.
Well, so what also got me is, so they would all go to the Davis Child Motor Company, and that was at 628 Merchant. And they had a little cabin for Santa. And so after the parade, you know, the parade would end, they would end up there, and then the kids would. But if you know anything about Santa costumes from the 1930s, they are not like modern day. Santas were a little bit scary in the 1930s. They weren't,
quite like they are
now.
They weren't jolly.
They lacked some jolliness?
They lacked some jolly. I mean, just the costume itself was just a little scary. In fact, I found an ad for the costume, and it was an actual mask. So it was this plastic whatever mask, and it had the beard on it. So it wasn't just the beard like we have today, and you can see the person's face. It was a whole mask that went over the person's head. And I've seen pictures before, and they were scary. It was a scary Santa. So I just kept imagining the scary Santa sitting there and having all these children be very scared of them. So they did that for a number of years. So the first one was 34. They continued through, I think, 38, 39. They included a pet parade at some point, so kids could walk in the parade and have their pet with them. Lights on the city street decorations was the first time in 1938.
Okay.
So I don't know what that, and I wasn't sure what that meant, like, that it was on the city. Yes.
Yeah, it's frightening.
So,
okay,
so gotcha. Aaron's showing a very scary mask of a Santa.
You can just Google 1930s, 40s Santa Claus mask.
And they just, it was plastic, and it just, I don't, and I'm not sure when they switched over to just having the beard. And I saw a couple of photos where they just showed the person with the beard. Why they thought it was a good idea to have the actual full facial mask, I don't know. But it was in 1930s.
All the old time TV show Santa looks good. I mean, yeah. I didn't see any scary
Santas. That's
50s.
That's 50s. No, 30s.
30s, okay.
Not so much.
That was a depression. 50s.
Yeah, it was the depression.
In my quick search, it looked like the Coca-Cola ads with Santa Claus.
And that's when
looked it, like it might have been the transition to
yes.
a cool-looking Santa.
So that first one, I mean, that kind of iconic ad of Santa drinking a Coca-Cola was 1931. And even that, I mean, you have this nice ad that makes Santa look jolly, but you still had these costumes that didn't catch up to the ad. Not until, I think, the 40s, late 40s, you know, 50s, did it change. So you have this going on, and then there really wasn't much going on in the 40s. And I would assume it was because of World War II, that, you know, a lot of the energy focused, so they really didn't do the parade. You know, they were rationing gasoline and tires and those kinds of things. So they probably were like, none of that silliness during the war. So then in 1947, they decided, and I'm thinking this might have been the first return to the parade, they decided to do giant caricatures for the Christmas parade. So very similar to the Macy's Day Parade. The Macy's Day Parade, the first one was 1924. So they've been doing this for 101 years. And so there was this gentleman by the name of Gene Grow. And I think he was in like Pennsylvania, Ohio area. Well, he created these giant balloons, not as big as Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but they were balloons. Okay. I mean, there was one that it was a dragon that was 100 feet long. Some of them, he made them small enough that they would fit under trolley wires. And so, because some towns still, you know, had the trolleys. By that time, Emporia didn't. Emporia was done with the trolley by the 1920s. So, 1947, the chamber is contracting with this gentleman, Gene Grow.
This is the chamber.
This is the chamber. Yeah, the chamber. And it was the chamber in the 30s also.
Oh, okay.
So, there was always these breaks in between. So, are reaching out to this Gene Grow for these giant balloons. And they came. It was, you know, they had the giant balloons, very similar to Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They had several bands that also played. I mean, they were promoting that it was 600 people that were a part of this, the 1947 Christmas Parade. So the day after, there was a local minister that basically said that it was empty and gaudy.
The parade?
The parade. Yes. that it just, because the balloons didn't feel local, I guess, there wasn't a Santa. I mean, he's listing all these things, you know, that Christmas stands for, and then he was like, nope, that parade was empty and gaudy show.
So was there nothing else except the characters, these balloons?
The characters, and they also had the bands playing. And he said, okay, that was the best part, was the bands.
But no churches had a float.
There were no floats. It was just these big balloons that...
And
marching bands. And so it was empty. So there was this kind of the small battle between this local minister who was saying this stuff, and then the chamber was like, okay, we're going to reply to this. And they basically said, well, next year, if you want to... you know, do your own thing and you have the money, more power to you, and we will welcome it and help you with that. So that was the reply that they gave. That
very diplomatic,
very diplomatic, yeah. That, you know, hey, if you want to organize it, we'll be right there with you and help you. And the other thing that I noticed in the 30s and especially in the 30s, it was festivities. I mean, it wasn't just the parade, but they also, one of the years, they had a showing of a Christmas carol that was done by the Gilson Players with ESU. Okay. Yeah. C of E did things. I mean, so they had the floats, but they also were building different events along with it and showing either movies or doing a play or doing that. So it was definitely more than just the parade, which I thought was really neat as well.
Let's take our second break.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk about 1858. That's a ways back.
Yes.
Man, I guess.
Yep.
You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
For quality concrete and reliable delivery, trust Eagle Creek Ready Mix in Emporia. With over 30 years of experience and their own rock quarry, they control quality from the ground up. From driveways and patios to commercial and agricultural jobs, they've got the mix you need when you need it. Call 620-208-8080 or visit EagleCreekReadyMix.com. Eagle Creek Ready Mix, built on rock solid service and quality from the ground up.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the request of Fulton County's new prosecutor, a judge has dismissed the Georgia election interference case against President Trump and other defendants related to overturning the state's 2020 presidential election results.
The decision from a Georgia judge puts to end the last pending criminal case faced by President Donald Trump. Both federal cases against him have been dismissed, and the Georgia case has now been thrown out in its entirety. He's attempting to appeal his conviction in New York for falsifying business records related to a hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Peter Haralambos, ABC News.
It's the peak travel day for millions of Americans, whether they're driving or flying to reach their holiday destination. In Minnesota, George Brown had to navigate snow on his way to Minneapolis-St. Paul International, all to catch a flight.
We really didn't have any noticeable delays. We have about a 30-minute drive, and it wasn't bad at all.
Other weather around the country could hamper those travel plans. On Wall Street today, stocks are up heading into the holiday break. This is ABC News.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local.
Welcome back to the On Air Chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. Greg Jordan and Lisa Soler from the Lyon County History Center are our guests. We're going to push one of these topics to our December program because we don't have much time.
Okay, we can do that.
Which will be the wrap-up of 2025 and look forward to 2026.
Yes. I just want to interject something about the Christmas parade. I don't want to leave the Christmas parade just yet.
Yes, sir.
We have done probably 47 broadcasts, the Christmas Parade. We used to do just radio-only Christmas Parade, and I've been a part of the radio broadcast and the TV broadcast now for like 33 years.
Wow.
We've seen all kinds of weather. We've been out there when it was pouring rain, the wind's blowing 40 miles an hour. You couldn't hold an umbrella up because they would break.
Sleet.
But the best Christmas parade ever, I think, in Emporia was the year that Masato Brothers, then Masato Brothers, had brought the Budweiser Clydesdales.
Oh, yeah.
For the parade.
That would have been neat.
And we had a light snow falling.
Oh, cool.
That night. It was just absolutely
picturesque.
Perfect. Oh, talk about a big old slice of Americana during the holidays.
Right there.
Yeah. Right there. It was, so.
Well, you know, since we moved into the new location, that's been one of the things we offer our members, donors, volunteers,
friends.
I mean, we have a parade viewing party.
Yeah.
And it's just our way of saying thank you to everybody who helps us throughout the year, whether it is giving of their time, their energy, or financial support. We just want to say thank you. And I will say, on the years that the weather is really nice, our turnout is a little bit lower. They do come in for the food and the
hot
cider,
yeah,
and the hot chocolate and the beverages. But so we always are looking at the weather too. And so this year, knowing that we're going to have that cold spell, it's like,
yeah,
it's going to be a good year. we better order extra.
Make sure
food.
The windows are clean.
Yeah,
windows clean.
And but yeah, I mean, and it is. People absolutely love coming in and watching it. We have it on the big screen.
Yeah.
So we're showing it on both floor, the second floor and the third floor. We have it on our projector, and people can sit and watch it on the screen,
yeah,
or
right,
they can watch it from the windows. And so it's just always been a great event, and we love being able to do that for those who support us.
One more thing we're not going to forget before we get into the baseball game.
Yeah.
Greg, you made an announcement the other morning when you were on. Would you like to repeat that?
So
you can't find somebody better.
KMA Distinguished Service Award winner. You reach the pinnacle. You reach the zenith of KMA. You're at the top.
So the only thing left to do is go out with a bang. So I'm planning on retiring in May of next year. The board is aware. We had a succession plan. Lisa will be the director starting June 1 or maybe even before. We'll be co-director starting in January for transitional period. I'm not going away. I mean, I'll still come in a couple of days a week just to help out, you know, clean the toilets.
He's going to be director emeritus because it sounds so fancy.
It really sounds
fancy. Does sound fancy. It does sound fancy.
It does sound, yeah.
So,
but, you know, I've been working since I was 14, and so the thought of not working is kind of daunting. I'm also kind of excited about it because maybe I'll get to play golf.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a perfect time to retire.
So, I mean,
he's slowly been building his
I've seen you.
Club
I've
collection.
Seen you out there.
Yeah.
I've seen you out there.
I'm
proud of you.
Well, thanks. My friends have all retired now, and, of course, they play. I told them I could play on Monday. But they play on Tuesday because it's like 50 cents cheaper. So they play on Tuesdays.
We're keeping that, by the way. We just went over
fees.
They're retired, so they have to watch their pennies.
Well, plus, they can play any day of the week. It doesn't matter.
The one thing we did debate a long time in our last golf advisory board meeting was whether we wanted to bring back $10 six-packs. We did not. But you'll have a blast, and hats off to you. You couldn't have found a better next director. And at some point, I assume
you'll
be
looking.
You didn't
have to look very far, did you?
You'll be looking for a new deputy.
Yes.
At some point.
I can be replaced. She cannot. I mean, she does six or seven jobs.
That's why we're keeping her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know what she's going to do, but I'll be at home.
When we were looking at the plan and the board had questions, that was pretty much the only question is like, okay, we know who's going to replace Greg, but who's going to replace you?
Yeah.
And so we're going to take the next 6 months. We've already started
to find these people
to either clone me, which I don't think the world would be ready for another me. I think we're safer with finding somebody who will make this role to their own.
Well, and you have a set of skills that Greg didn't have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
and you'll be able to find somebody that has some skills that you don't have, or
absolutely,
be able to enhance yours. And
yeah, so we're going to look at the next 6 months to look at exactly what does the museum need, and what does that look like
and
moving
then find
forward.
That person
and
to
finding
take
that person
role.
Or finding several people, you know, and just kind of looking at what the museum needs to move forward.
Well, so we're gonna push the 1858 Christmas baseball game to the next
week.
We
can absolutely do that.
because we are out of time. Hope you both have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, thank Thanksgiving. You,
Greg,
you
again. Congrats on the award.
Thank you.
Congrats on the soon-to-be emeritus status. Well deserved.
And congrats to Lisa on your directorial status now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Like I said earlier, you'll be the best one we had yet.
It's true. It's absolutely true. I can get behind that.
Thanks for listening to the On Air Chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. The noon hour is coming up here shortly, right here on KVUE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.